Well, hello everybody, and good morning from here, from Finland. This is July the 18th, 2013, and we've been looking at a couple of final statements. We're beginning with Esoteric Astrology 124A. We've been looking at some statements by the Tibetan about the summary statements concerning the science of triangles. I've sought to awaken in your minds a reaction to the abstract truth lying behind the two following statements. The science of triangles is related to the total expression of the divine triplicity of manifestation. Will, love, and intelligence are life, consciousness, and form. As I said, sometimes will and life are seen together, but I do equate life with being, in a way, and with the essence of things from which the will is derived. Until, therefore, the disciple can express in himself the integrated resemblance to these three aspects, he will not be able to grasp the meaning of this subjective astrological science. It's not so much concerned with the objective manifestation, though, of course, the triangle does work itself out within the square. And then the second statement, on our planet, the science of triangles is related to the three major aspects as they express themselves through Shambhala, the hierarchy, and humanity. Again, therefore, we come up against the need for the approach of the integrated human being to this science, because only the man who is responsive to these three focal points of energy can understand the interplay of the various triangles. Only, in fact, can the man apprehend the underlying truth whose two head centers and his heart center form a triangle of flowing energies. I had suggested that the triangle in the head might be involved, the crown, the ajna, and the alta major, but DK speaks here of the heart, and in this case, the ajna center expresses then the third aspect. Suffice it to say, the integration of the triangular aspects within our nature must be proceeding, and we must be able to express in a reasonably balanced manner will, love, and intelligence before the science of triangles will really have meaning for us, and before we will be able to understand the great number of triangles that are possible of understanding. And DK has presented so many of them for us on different levels. We've seen cosmic, zodiacal, planetary, intra-planetary triangles. We've seen triangles working out upon our planet in five outlets for energy. We've seen them in relation to the five or seven continents. The continents can probably be ordered in that way. We probably will see them working out with capital cities and with triangles between nations and so forth. And of course, the triangles within the etheric body, which give us the basis for extrapolation as we begin to think about the higher triangles, what we can determine in our etheric body about the triangular relations can shed much light upon the higher and more abstruse triangles about which we would know nothing without the presentation of this teaching. Sometimes you might just think, you know, what would I know about all the interrelations that Master DK has presented unless he had presented them? The human mind, constituted as it is, and not in contact with the great hierarchical reservoirs of knowledge and wisdom, could not know, or at least it would take a very long time to work it all out. So we can see that just as the solar angels came and facilitated the evolution of man, speeding it by millions of years, so a presentation of the wisdom such as Master DK is giving is greatly accelerating human knowledge. So going on here on page 478, in this connection I would remind you of what I earlier, said earlier in the treatise on the science of triangles, that the science of triangles is related to spirit and to synthesis. Well, think of it. You know, when Master DK speaks of the different aspects in the astrological chart, he tells us that the triangles are related to spirit. The stars to consciousness and the squares to form. So that's the practical reflection of this deeper fact that triangles are related to synthesis and to spirit. I would remind you also that I've written in this what I've written in this astrological section of the treatise on the seven rays, that what I've written is intended for the instruction of disciples at the close of the century and during the post-war period. Well, I suppose we are in the post-war period if we don't manage to see another one ignited. So we are those disciples who have been living at the close of this century, and we are living in the following century, now the 21st century. And perhaps we can see from a more synthetic point of view. Those who follow us will see the history of our times still more synthetically. But at least we know that this is intended for us. Again, I would also point out that I earlier stated that this science must always be approached from the angle of the three basic energies, at least for us. Obviously, there are higher applications of the science of triangles beyond our local cosmos system. So let's, but for practical purposes and how we can use this, those coming from the Great Bear, from the Pleiades, and from Sirius, the order in which these are put sometimes change. The Great Bear is always, it seems, associated with the first aspect, but the Pleiades can be associated with the third or second, and Sirius with the second or third. Resuming, we were speaking that the triangles, as we study them, must always be approached from the angle of the three basic energies. Those coming from the Great Bear, from the Pleiades, and from Sirius. Because, conditioned by time and space, these three types of energies pour through the three major centers, Shambhala, the hierarchy, and humanity. And we've seen how this is constantly occurring, and we've seen that in the 18-fold chart. And we could probably carry it further. There are certain triangles of energies always behind Shambhala, where the energies are gathered and distributed properly for use by the planet. My problem has been, says DK, to choose which of the myriad interlocking triangular relationships I would take up with you, and thus present this science in such a manner that it would prove to be of real interest. Well, certainly it is that. I think our question is, how do we find the modes of application of this very interesting subjective science? But after all, we have been given tabulations in which even the cosmic triangles show their line of descent all the way to the chakras of the human being. So when our chakras are activated and when we can begin to think of them as admitting certain energies which affect our consciousness and the state of our energy system, we can have the thought, and it will be a correct one, that the energy we are experiencing begins with the three great constellations, no matter how much it is reduced and transformed along the way to reaching us. The inner web of light, which is called the etheric body of the planet, is essentially a web of triangles, and when the evolutionary process is completed, it will have been organized. And the squares of the non-sacred planets, their etheric web, will have been completely converted to a web of triangles. Essentially, the word essentially is used, and it tells us that the completion of the triangular network is not yet achieved. At present, a pattern of squares is the major construction of the web, but this is slowly changing as the divine plan works out. So it's all part of the transition from the personality involvement to focus within the soul. The personality is the square, and the soul is the triangle. The etheric webs of the sacred planets are largely triangles, but perhaps even then, even those webs have not been entirely completed. Perhaps even those webs are not entirely completed. Whilst the sun is that of interlaced circles, and if the circles are interlaced, we will be producing the Vesica Pisces in the place which is shared by two circles. The effort of on Earth today, as seen by the planetary logos, is to bring about a transformation of the web of the planets, and thus slowly change the existing squares into triangles. I suppose that there are fewer squares and more triangles in the etheric body of the Earth. The Earth itself is a planet having much to do with the general structure and vitality of the etheric body, that there are fewer squares and more triangles than there are in the etheric body of Mars, which is less sacred, and the fact that Mars is less sacred is being demonstrated politically, socially, and psychologically on our planet at this time, as those groups representing Mars seem to be very reactionary in terms of the future flow of energy, the future structures which must be created. There's a reactionary force in relation to Mars. Mars represents, in a way, the entire personality, as well as all of the vehicles, and therefore is closely allied with the square. And if we three-dimensionalize the square, we get the cube, and again, this is what Mars is connected with. Maybe we could say that as the triangle is to the square, the tetrahedron is to the cube, or the pyramid is to the cube. There is a greater integration, of course, in the pyramid than in the cube. All the forces have been drawn to a central and elevated point. So slowly change the existing squares into triangles. That's our task, and we see how much in line with the will of the planetary logos is the project of triangles, which Master DK has brought to humanity. It is deeply occult, deeply esoteric, and deeply necessary. This is done by the creation of a division, by the application of the law of separation, but also by the recognition in consciousness of duality, the application of directed motion, and the appearance of two triangles in place of one square. This is a deeply occult sentence, and seems to me it should be a focus for us. Master DK once talked about the how a sage taught him to bisect the square, and presumably to produce two triangles, and one gets the sense that that sage was Pythagoras, and that he, Master Dikaios Kleinias, at the time, was being taught one of the deeper mysteries. So this is done by the creation of division along the diagonal, by the application of the law of separation, which in a sense is the separation in detachment of consciousness from that which it perceives, but also by the recognition in consciousness of duality, meaning the relationship between the triangle and the square, and the meaning of this relationship. And the application of directed motion, I suppose we could say that this is the will working to create the diagonal. Of course, we could meditate on this for a long time. When we right, okay. Little bells are going off, and when I try to do this work on two computers so that I can continue talking, I hear strange sounds. Occasionally knocks at the door. So the application of directed motion, if we want to separate the consciousness from that which it observes by a process of detachment, it will require the will to detach, the will to observe. The application of directed motion, so along the diagonal, and the appearance of two triangles in the place of one square. And we've already seen how this works in the archetypal diagram, the flow of energies in the triangles. We have seen a major triangle and the method of evoking a lower triangle in reflection. Two triangles may suggest that each of the personality vehicles becomes the reflection of points in the higher of the triangles. If we turn a square on its edge, we get the same diamond that we perceived before in the major diagram concerning the triangles. Then the then that factor which we call the personality and which drives the energies of the body, etheric body, below the diaphragm, and forces these energies to feed the lower centers, is in a sense bypassed. So the lesser lord of the personality no longer has control over the lower vehicles in this bisected situation, and the lower vehicles are not under the impress of that greater lunar lord. So in a way, a seven becomes a kind of six. There is, in the treatise on white magic, a rule which may be connected with this, and let's just look at that. It's number six, I think. The devas of the lower four feel the force when the eye opens. They are driven forth and lose their master. This rule is related to what we are talking about in the bisecting of the square, because the master here has been the personality. That center, that ahamkaric center we call the personality. Now, the vehicles of the lower four, which are really three, have a new master in the higher triangle. At least this is one way to look at the one way to look at the meaning of the bisecting of the square. Probably it's one of those things that really requires long pondering. And the way DK just spoke of it, it seems a very occult matter. I'll repeat that. The bisecting of the square into two triangles, the major etheric project on our still non-sacred planet, which is considered sacred inwardly, interestingly, this bisecting is done by the creation of division. Well, we certainly must disengage from that which our desires have forced us to identify with. The creation of division by the application of the law of separation, and certainly the diagonal does separate, and in separating, elevates the quality of what remains, namely the two triangles. And also by recognition in consciousness of duality that there is a higher and lower self, which the consciousness identified with the personality cannot see. Consciousness identified, ID, with the personality, square, cannot see this. But with detachment, one can. The fifth ray of detachment can be used. It is surgical and related to the law of cleavages, the fifth ray law. So this separation, this necessary separation, which is creating a duality, the necessary separation brings the fact of duality into consciousness. And then we are no longer engrossed, but have stood back and realized ourselves within the higher of the pairs of opposites. So the application of directed motion, according to the will, the incision is made, the surgery is made, and the appearance of two triangles in the place of one square. Well, this is just scratching the surface, but a few ideas are given. When this is taking place, the perceiving consciousness recognizes identity. That's it. Well, I think I've been on the right track here. The perceiving consciousness recognizes identity, I would say, as an observing soul. And the rule of the square is ended. The ancient domination, the ancient authority of the personality is ended. This Master DK discusses in relation to the third initiation. And here we are. These words were once spoken to me by an ancient seer who bisected the square esoterically, thus forming two triangles, and united them in a fresh manifestation to form a star of life. Well, the star of life can be, well, I think I want to capitalize it because it relates to the spirit. The star of life can be understood as the seal of, no, I would like to create one of those Yeah, I would like to create this seal of Solomon, if I may. And it's so important. And so the seal of Solomon, the seal of solar man, as we might look at it from the Manly Hall perspective, seal of Solomon. And every time I write that, in terms of this autocorrect, it will appear in that manner. The Star of Life can be understood as the Seal of Solomon, which consists of two triangles and is the symbol for the monad or the life. A Star of Life, maybe there's more than one star. Maybe a seven-pointed star is also considered a Star of Life. Was this ancient seer Pythagoras? I'm going to make a little note here, and we'll see what page. We'll get some of this out of the way here. I suppose we're still on page 478, I suspect, so far. Still on page, yep, well, maybe 479. We're on page 479. So, this document will give us, from Esoteric Astrology 479, and I'll put it in the Alice Bailey extracts references, and you are welcome to have this. I think it does a great deal. Just write me, I'll send it to you. These Alice Bailey extracts, it's gotten quite big by now, and they are important sentences. So bisecting the square and creating a Star of Life. All right, there it is. Who was that ancient seer? Of course, was it a seer in ancient days? Was it Pythagoras? Certainly he was the great exponent of sacred geometry. And as Master DK today is the student of Master KH, so in those days he was the student as Clinius of Pythagoras. So the story goes. The esoteric bisecting of the square also the creation of the diamond diagram, which illustrates the flow between two triangles, may have been involved in this process. God geometrizes the A great geometrician is another name for the second ray logos. And there is within our planetary logos and his second ray soul the power of sacred geometry. And through sacred geometry, we can learn so much about right relations. So, I once searched for this particular reference for years, and I couldn't find it. It was right under my nose. I couldn't find it. But here they are. So combining the triangles, detaching from the square, and realizing that there is an interrelationship between the two triangles forming the six-pointed star, which is a Star of Life. The five-pointed star would be more a Star of Consciousness. So it is for this reason that the astrologers of the future will emphasize the relation and the interrelation of triangles. Because through the interrelation of triangles, the interrelation of triangles, the energy will be seen to be transmitted resonantly from the greater triangles to the lesser without obstruction. We know the square represents obstruction. And when, for instance, in astrology, there is a square relationship between planets, they can interfere with each other unless the will is applied to harmonize energies which at first are at cross purposes. Well, we're learning how to become the new astrologer. The new astrologer will, as I've hinted before, lay the emphasis upon the science of triangles as the result of the growth of initiate understanding. We will have penetrated into the triangle or the soul. He who does so possesses, if that's the right spelling, initiate understanding. The rising sign here, as it indicates the way of the soul in a particular incarnation, bringing us closer at the end of that incarnation to the center of our life, and the center of our consciousness. DK has a special way of talking about that in the early part of the book that we had reviewed before. But the way of the soul in the form in this particular incarnation is indicated by the rising sign, by the decanate ruler, by the position of the decanate ruler, if it can be found, and perhaps by an association of an extra zodiacal constellation, particularly with that decanate of the rising sign. And also, of course, the ruling planet of the rising sign in its position, we have to understand how particularly that should work out in our life. So the new astrologer is the initiate astrologer. And basically, DK said there were no initiate astrologers. Working on the outer plane at the time that he was writing, which must have been humbling for some. And I suppose by that he means an astrologer of the third degree who had a deep esoteric insight and not just an intelligent understanding of the human being, which of course also is necessary. The place of the three crosses, the cardinal, the fixed, and the mutable, in the life of the soul. How these three indicate the emergence of the soul in the personality. This will eventually supersede the houses in the horoscope, at least I would say when doing charts for more advanced types. And the 12 arms of the three crosses will take the place of the 12 houses when casting the horoscope of the soul. In my view, the way the soul, with its present objectives, should manifest itself within the personality as presently constituted. Will this mean, as I say, the horoscope of that entity which has been in existence for millions of years and to which we repair after death eventually and see our many lives as constituting episodes in one long life? Will it be the soul entity per se? It's not per se the horoscope of the solar angel, if we consider the angel to be that returning nirvani from a previous Mahamanvantara. Sometimes the word solar angel or angel of the presence tends to mean the ego on its own plane and within the egoic lotus. That is sometimes considered to be an angelic being, sustained as it is by the true solar angel, and that angelic being veils, in a way, the presence and must allow the inner monadic consciousness, which has made its way down through all of the various vehicles, to appreciate or reappreciate itself as the presence. So the angel of the presence is barring the realization for a while until there is a fit time and condition for that realization of the true presence. So at least, we can say, will the houses disappear for horoscopes of those who are on the clockwise wheel? Maybe not. But maybe increasing numbers of people will seek to respond as souls to life circumstances, and then the charts of the crosses will be valuable. When dealing with the crosses, we deal more with energy as it conditions circumstance than with circumstance per se. So there's a shift here from a study of already created energy patterns into the wielding, creative wielding of energy itself to create that which is intended by the plan. We will not be so circumstantially affected. It's a Leo thing. We will not be so circumstantially affected. Leo, with Uranus, has control over circumstance and is not conditioned thereby. So the inner man will have the greater power and will be positive to his circumstances. And it will not be so much a question of what is going to happen to me in the circumstances in which I find myself, but how can I condition those circumstances according to the energy available. There will be certain energies that we seek to use because they are on the fixed cross and they are the comes through the rulers of the esoteric rulers of the fixed cross, and we will want to know how best to use them according to our horoscope and how to bring them into harmony. The revelations of the possibility of this new astrology are very real, and the methods of achieving revelation lie far beneath the surface of the present type of astrology that we use. Always the danger, of course, is being caught in technique. The intuition will tell the salient factor. The intuition will tell what is really needed. But it's possible to find a new technique and try to exercise it everywhere and upon every person. And it will prove a kind of Procrustean bed. It will prove a limitation. So we have to remain fluid, open to the intuition, which can reveal things from a thousand angles. I use that just terms, number symbolically. And use the new techniques in line with the intuition as methods of stimulating the intuition, because there's always more variables involved than a technique per se can reveal. But a technique can be a trigger to intuitive perception, which will reveal exactly the salient point, even if there were 10,000 points among which to choose. I would reiterate again the fact that the new astrology will be occupied with charting the life of the soul. And I tend to want to say the life of the soul within the personality. Until we have no personality through which to work. The 12 constellations, and now he's not talking about signs here again, keeps changing back and forth, and we have to know why. The 12 constellations, as they play their part in the life of the disciple, through the medium of their distributing agents, the ruling esoteric planets, and this could mean that the, the ray. Yes, rays pass through the ruling esoteric planets. I don't think I have to speak of that so much. What I had thought is that, of course, Mercury, let us say, is the ruling esoteric planet of Aries, but the first ray will pass through Mercury because Aries constellationally distributes the first ray, and so will the seventh ray. But maybe that's a somewhat secondary matter compared to the rulership by the esoteric planets. The 12 constellations, as they play their part in the life of the disciple, through the medium of their distributing agents, the ruling esoteric planets, will gradually transform the exoteric form of the chart of the individual. And I suppose before long, and it comes to me that following 2025, when DK again speaks astrologically through an amanuensis, probably through an amanuensis, there may come revelations of new forms of astrological charts. Revelations. He speaks of the third installment of his teaching, and he speaks first of the astrological part that will reveal itself. Who knows what he has in mind? Our job is to assimilate what he has given thus far, and that is a great task, because he's given so much. We have to work on that during the next 12 years. Well, you know, it's 2013 now. I speak about the next 12 years. But if this is viewed at another time, the time will be less and less and less for assimilation. We have to assimilate what he has taught us. And then we will be prepared for the newer revelation, within which we may have the new forms of charts, some examples of them. Okay, this will be due to the focusing of the various energies in man consciously and through intent, and will not concern his negative reactions to the conditioning energies. Well, it's in a better way. This is just what I was trying to say before. We will be the factor which conditions our circumstance through our ability to focus the energies which must be applied. So in the new type of chart, we will know what we have available to us, and we will work with those energies in a focused manner, applying them with deliberation and due measurement to the fields of life where they must be expressed. And we will not be so passive in our negative reaction to the conditioning energies. There may be all kinds of circumstance around us, but we will be positive to circumstance. So under the influence of the new astrology, we will be positive to circumstance. If we have, of course, found our inner center and are sufficiently spiritually evolved to work out that positivity, express that positivity. I would like to call your attention to an interesting point which has a definite bearing upon the power of the individual to grasp the new astrology and to comprehend the signs of triangles. They seem to go together. Grasping the new astrology and comprehending the science of triangles. Seems that the you cannot have the new astrology without a comprehension of the science of triangles. We're interested in the power of the individual. It's 80 years later now. The power of the individual to grasp the new astrology and to comprehend the science of triangles. Here's the point. The astrological symbols for Virgo and Scorpio are triple in nature, the only two which are. It's almost as if the indications have to be worked out in the three lower worlds. Of these signs have to be worked out in the three lower worlds. They have to be proved on the outer plane, and Virgo, of course, is practical and tends to work that way, and Scorpio has to demonstrate its achievements in the lower worlds. We have, even in Virgo, the three aspects of divinity manifesting, and it should be so as well with respect to the three aspects in relation to Scorpio. When the disciple grasps the meaning behind this triplicity, he will be ready to grasp the significance of the abstruse science and to work with the new astrology. So, triangles, which are threefold, are related to these two triple signs. When you look at the Hydra of Scorpio, it is threefold, mental, emotional, and physical. When you look at the mantram of Virgo, you see I am the mother and the child, that's two, I God, that's three, I matter am. Mother matter, the child, the son, and God. All having to be fused together. In Virgo, the three are fused together eventually. Virgo, different from Gemini, is very good at the fusion of soul and personality and later bringing the spirit aspect into integration will produce a triple integration, spirit, soul, and body in Virgo. And the fullness of that, of the indication of the mantram, will be with us. With Scorpio, it is the soul that fights. Conflict with duality, the fighter. On its own level, the soul is fighting as the soul in incarnation to triumph over the pull, the triple lower pull. Eventually, the spirit can be the warrior. Scorpio will admit the spirit into the fray. This can happen at the third degree, and although Scorpio has not been implicated or directly suggested as a part of the fourth degree, it does bring in the fourth ray, which is powerful of the fourth degree, and there is death and crucifixion, and it's just that the triple testing potency, the peculiar testing potency of Scorpio is only applied to the first 3 degrees, but I suspect that its potency can be present in the fourth degree as well. And then the spirit aspect would be definitely involved. Virgo and Scorpio are two signs connected with the growth of the Christ consciousness. Virgo, what should we say, the growth of the Christ consciousness Scorpio, the triumph of the Christ consciousness. They mark critical points in the soul's experience, points of integration, especially, well, I can see that with Virgo very much. Virgo is a very integrative sign, even though it has this incredible power of analysis, which can take things apart, but Virgo is an integrative sign, wherein the soul is consciously at one-ing itself with the form, and at the same time with the spirit. So, yes, a triple integration. And remember, we have to have these triangular integrations working in our nature before we can work with and understand the science of triangles. They mark the critical point in the soul's experience. Now he's going to emphasize that point. Points of integration and powerful integration in the case of Scorpio. We've taken things a little farther with Scorpio and are moving towards the still greater triumph in Capricorn. When the soul is consciously at one-ing itself with the form and at the same time with spirit. I said the soul's experience and not the experience of the man upon the physical plane. And this is an important point. When the experience undergone in Virgo is consummated in Pisces, and the tests of Scorpio have led to illumination in Taurus, then the effect of these four energies, Virgo, Pisces, Scorpio, Taurus, will be to make the man the true triangle. The true soul, focusing upon its own plane. Expressing the three divine aspects or energies as they come from the three major conditioning constellations, the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Sirius. So these two triple signs make a soul of us, but the opposite signs are also needed for consummation. The soul has sacrificial love, the soul is the warrior, the soul is illumined, the soul is the Christ consciousness. The four signs all express qualities of the soul. The Christ consciousness, Virgo, the Savior, Redeemer in Pisces, the warrior aspect of the soul, and the illumined aspect of the soul in Taurus and Scorpio, respectively. Now, Master DK says I could feel... Whoop! That's no good. Okay, now we are a little better. Those horrible freeze frames that reveal to you what your face is really like in those moments. I oftentimes think that the quality of our action is caught in tiny quanta, and that we can freeze frame any moment in our life and see the decision that's involved in having created that moment as it is. And then true causality will be revealed. Sometimes we don't know how we get from A to B, but there is a process, and it's all in increments in a certain sense. I could fill many volumes with the indications of the various triangles as they are discovered to be related in time and space. Many volumes. you can see that given what the Master knows, his challenge is reduction and not expansion. He could expand upon many things. Of what use would it be to us? But instead, he has to reduce his voluminous knowledge to that which is most essential for us and for humanity in its progress. And he knows that he is giving but partial indications. But of course, these are seeds which can be unfolded by the interested student. And over the next 2,000 years or so, there will be many of us who are deeply interested, who will be found in the new schools as centers of light for the externalization of the hierarchy, and who will be working in that way to bring to humanity the light of the ageless wisdom, as it is backed by the true presence of the Master who knows, and we too will become knowers. We can see how this will work. Under the will of deity and the unalterable energy at the heart of the manifested zodiac, and that too is a statement revelatory of the life of the one about whom naught may be said, because that is the, in a sense, the unalterable heart, the unalterable energy at the heart of the manifested zodiac. Of course, the zodiac itself is the heart and the head center, and there is the central jewel, which is the life. It's the heart and the head. And so the zodiac will always have to do with the heart. Under the will of deity, the unalterable energy of the heart of the manifested zodiac, they, the triangles, the many triangles, they produce the changes in consciousness which make a man divine at the close of the world cycle, giving him the power on the major three aspects of divinity, probably with one emphasized, of course, but they create a balance. Remember, the triangle is a figure of balance. Why can't I get this? Okay. The triangle is a figure of balance related to Libra, and the three aspects of divinity, must be balanced in the man who is, quote-unquote, divine. By divine, we mean a monad expressing as three, three aspects of divinity. But the theme is too vast, and all I seek to do is to point the way towards a new science and towards those esoteric combinations of energy which, when recognized, enable humanity to make more rapid progress, fuse and blend the energies of the three planetary centers, and transform our Earth through the agency of human thought reacting to zodiacal influence into a sacred planet. Marvelous. And this means that by our study of esoteric astrology and through our thought conditioned by what we learn, we are uniting the three planetary centers and thereby helping to transform our planet into a sacred planet. into a sacred planet. Our studies here are contributing to the transformation of our Earth into a sacred planet. We will be treading the conscious way. We will know what energies we have to use. We will know how we invoke them, receive them, apply them. We will apply the energies constructively in line with the plan in a well-timed manner. Astrology will help us really bring order and scientific living to our ordinary means of living in the three worlds, which has not distinguished itself by great spiritual success yet. So we will see the way ahead, what we have to work with, what needs to be applied at any one point, and we will be proper receptors of that which needs to be applied. We've shown the methods of blending the three. We have to do it in ourselves first, but eventually Shambhala, Hierarchy, and Humanity. We're working on it in relation to Hierarchy and slightly in relation to Shambhala. Hierarchy is working on it in relation to Shambhala particularly, and also in relation to Humanity with the externalization. And from the Shambhala perspective, through impacts, a greater presence of the Shambhala force is being directed to Humanity, and who knows how they're working with Hierarchy. The Shambhala confusion of Hierarchy is underway, but what are the methods? We don't know. We simply know that when there is an invocation, something is evoked, and a response will follow, and that the Great Spirit will make its way across the bridge, which is being partially built by the invocation of the lesser factor. So we will learn certain esoteric combinations of energies. We've already been doing that. We should have a triangle review. There should be a test. There should be a test in this, just like there is a test in chemistry, to make sure that the knowledge really is ours. We have to prove to ourselves that we know these things and can apply them. And eventually we will bring about such an integration in our planetary sphere that it can call itself a sacred planet, or be known as. It is therefore the influence and combination of energies as they affect the aspirants and disciples of the world which must suffice for any increased understanding. These we must notice in our own individual and group life. And with these I shall gradually deal and I shall also, in the final part of this section, give you an exegesis of the tabulation. In that tabulation is given the relation between the rays, the constellations, and this is basic in its implications. So this, above all, must be memorized. So we see the two sets of energies as they presently interact on our planet and in our system. You know, there are just certain things we just have to know, just like there are words in a language we have to know. Astrology is our language, and we have to know these things at our fingertips by heart so that we don't always have to be looking them up, because if we're always looking them up, the interaction between the factors is greatly delayed. The Mercury cannot work. We cannot have that arcing that can occur between factors, which reveals the light and synthesizes the factors into some useful integration. So we have to do our concrete mental work if we're going to really understand the new science, and if it's going to begin integrating itself in our minds. Well, this will be, I had a little knock at the door, which took me away for a little while, and I left my timer running, so I hope I'm fairly close. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology 124A, and taking us to page 481. And we will continue, beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure 124B, page 481. Such a fascinating subject. And it helps us to coordinate so many aspects of the ageless wisdom. We might try to memorize those other aspects or think of them in their own right, but there's always an astrological interpretation of those aspects, of those factors. There's a way of seeing their place in the great scheme of things. We wouldn't want to do without a new understanding of this greatest and oldest of all the sciences, as Master DK puts it. Okay, we'll see you shortly.